when the time is here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101. The show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking sand when the reaper's drawing near. We're the ones, when you're done, Recovery 101.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLASLACRRMMDRAHAPAFAIRCMA.
None of them there, guys.
Cover my...
CMA?
Arse.
Country Music Awards?
Yeah, or cover my arse. I'm going to sneeze. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with...
Shelley.
And Mark.
Hopefully I don't sneeze, because if I start sneezing, I'm going to get like six or seven.
Yeah,
or
that's
going to
be a roll for a while.
Welcome, everybody. How was your day today, Mark?
My day was great. My day was great. Slept in.
That's always good.
Till 9. I know, Bruce, you don't relate to that, but
no,
that
no.
is sleeping
if
in.
If I could sleep in, I like to sleep in till as long as I can.
Yeah.
Like 3.
Yeah.
Went and had brunch, went grocery shopping, went to my sister's.
You went grocery shopping after you ate, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
did you buy less or more?
Well, we were on a specific mission. My sister and I were making dinner for the family tonight, so we were specifically picking up ingredients for that.
So you're suffering from food coma.
Pretty much.
Because Mark, quite the cook, so I'm imagining your sister is as well.
She is.
What did you make?
Bouillabaisse.
Bouillabaisse?
Yes.
Damn.
Yes.
What all you put in it?
Lots of saffron.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Isn't saffron kind of expensive?
Yeah. And we put shrimp and scallops and clams and fish and pretty much all that stuff.
So where's the leftovers?
Yeah. Good luck.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. We had 10 people over.
Oh. I just thought I'd ask.
Mm-hmm.
How was your day, Shell?
It was a typical Sunday.
You went and got spiritual in the morning?
Yes, I went to church. And then went to lunch with you and Mom. And
that'll
then
blow your
got
spirituality.
The movies, and then I did housework.
And you talked about the lawn ornament.
Yes. How was your day, Bruce?
Well, my day started off well. I was still in bed. It was good. Got up, helped my mom go buy a dishwasher. Went out to
what
lunch.
What was his name?
Yeah, that's what I should have done. Went out to lunch and then came back and admired my new old vehicle, my 1954 Ford F-100.
Yes.
That's in the driveway.
Let's clarify the condition of this vehicle and why I call it a lawn ornament, because it is not operational.
Okay, but.
Yet. But Bruce is going to work on it.
But.
Of course.
But.
Yet.
But. First of all. There's no dents on this thing.
There's no paint on this thing either.
Doesn't need paint.
It's a 1954.
There's paint somewhere.
Yeah, there's
it's
paint.
It's bondoed out. It's completely bondoed out.
There's not a stick of Bondo on that.
Well, that's what it looks like.
It looks that way because it's primered.
Okay.
Long and it's going to run. It almost runs now. I got a mechanic coming to look at it on Saturday. I've got an ITEX mechanic, not the guy up there, different guy. I've got ITEX painters. Oh, yeah. I got an ITEX guy that'll do a little thing on the side. It says Dreamland Mattress, Covina, California, 91723. By the way, that's 626-331-8044. I've got Bill W. and Jimmy K. discounts. I don't know why I never mentioned that on the show.
You just did.
I know, but I don't know why I never have before. We've been doing this show for years. I've had the mattress store the entire time and never once talked about it. So, you know what that means.
What's that mean?
Well, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze.
What happened to your first dude?
It diddlied.
It faded before it started.
Yeah, diddly instead of a doot.
Diddly doot.
What am I caught on? Sheesh.
My foot.
We have shout outs to Bill, Brian, Phil.
Let me take a wild guess and say we have some studies and we have some Utah stories coming.
Yes, we do. And Katie.
Katie Uck.
In Portland.
Katie Uck.
In Portland.
Oh.
Important in Portland.
Yes. This is in Oregon. Easiest drug bust ever.
Wow, this has to get pretty easy because we've heard some stupid ones.
Yes. Guy called the suspect's name Raleigh Reynolds.
Only two
names?
What's
his middle name?
There isn't one, actually.
Well, then this isn't an official drug bust.
Well, yeah, it kind of is. 25 years old. Accidentally butt-dialed 911 while he was in the midst of making a drug deal.
So, of course, 911 knows exactly where he is.
Yes, because they tracked the phone's GPS signal, 911 did. The dispatcher just stayed quiet and recorded what was going on that she could hear on the phone.
Nice.
Oh, great.
Led officers right to the suspect. The people sitting in the car both denied having a working cell phone, so the officer started shouting, and the 911 operator said, "Yep, I can hear you."
Oh, nice.
Yes, that got quite a chuckle around the department, they said. They did find the cell phone and some methamphetamine.
How much methamphetamine did they find?
They did not say.
Twice as much as they claimed.
What are the chances of butt dialing 911?
Not very good, I wouldn't think.
I mean, butt dialing the last person you talk to.
Yep.
I don't know.
Unless
he's got 911 on speed dial, which I don't get.
I don't know any drug dealers that have 911 on speed dial.
Well, yeah, for all the people that overdose.
And maybe if they're actively cooking meth, I think they might need to call the fire department.
Might need to call the fire department.
The bomb squad.
Yeah.
Let's see. Bill sent this study and group of researchers from the University of Illinois. They questioned 561 middle school students. And what they wanted to know was whether when they were having anti-drug and alcohol conversations.
Top six answers are on the board.
Parents, when they were having these conversations with their parents, if when their parents talked to them about their teenage drug and alcohol stories, whether it made the kids more or less inclined to use drugs or alcohol. And they found that actually it was more dangerous for the parents to relate their own stories of drug and alcohol abuse, even if they had a bad ending. Because they believe that subconsciously it makes the kids think, well, mom and dad did it and they're still alive and everything turned out okay, so I can have a little fun.
Wow, that's a topic.
Yes, and that the kids whose parents did not relate their own stories had a much less chance of...
We should remember that because that could actually be a good topic because we all have kids.
We could do it on this show and save our topic for this show for the next show.
We could.
Yeah, so let's not talk about it. We'll talk about it later. What do you think?
Yep.
Okay.
All right, then.
Katie will have to wait an extra show.
Yep.
Katie Uck.
Katie listening day after tomorrow.
I'm not exactly sure what the purpose of this next study is. Bill's been busy with the whole study.
For someone to get funding, that was the purpose.
This was done at the University of Basque, which is in Spain. The study was done on individuals with a high level of alcohol intake. Apparently, alcoholism is a huge problem in Spain.
They didn't even call me.
You're not an alcoholic.
I would think that alcoholism is a huge problem everywhere, but... apparently, it's really bad in Spain. They think that 20% of the Spanish population may be alcoholics, which is actually more than in the U.S., so...
Yeah, but is it more than the Soviet Union?
Probably not. But they did...
Ireland.
This is the first study that associates genetic factors with a high level of alcohol intake in women.
By the way, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, yes.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, it'll be too late for everyone listening to the show, but you can listen to it again next year.
they believe that the genes cause a variation in the metabolic rate in women that can be up to 30 times higher than in people that don't have this gene.
Okay, meaning that they're 30 times more likely or get 30 times as loaded?
Well, they have more of a tolerance than other people and have more of a predisposition to needing alcohol.
They have more of a tolerance?
Like their metabolism is different than people that, I'm starting to feel it after one drink.
So there's something that women are tolerant of?
Oh, not on this show.
Oh, ow. Mark one, Shelley one. It's a tie.
All right, Bill titled this next one when he sent it to me in the email, Porn Saves the Day.
Oh.
Always.
Hang on.
What?
Fanfare.
What, then you're doing the hero fanfare for porn?
Porn it saved the day, right?
That's right. It's the hero of the week. Porn is the hero of the week.
Could be the hero of the year.
All right. Early Johnson, that's this guy's name.
Wait. Is he the porn guy?
Yes.
Awesome.
Well, no, he's not in porn. He's a 43-year-old guy from Muskegon, Michigan.
Who has a premature ejaculation problem,
I know,
apparently.
Really Johnson. Want to be married to a guy named Early.
Yikes. Early Johnson.
He has amassed quite a valuable pornography collection. He buys DVDs. He actually buys the DVDs and it doesn't download the porn for free. A couple of times a week at his local purveyor of such
delight. Porn. His pop.
With
the porn palace.
With the understanding of his fiance. She understands that he has a desire and a need to view this much porn. His house was broken into, and they stole his entire collection plus three televisions from his house.
They need three televisions to watch all that porn.
The value of the collection was $7,500, and if you consider how cheap porn DVDs are, that's probably quite a few porn DVDs.
Yeah, these days you can go to the porn shop, and they have like the $1.99 bin.
Yes.
Not that I would know.
Yeah, I know. But, however, after hearing about this robbery, Monarchy Distribution, which is owned by Mike Kulik, this is a company that distributes porn DVDs, sent him 200 DVDs to restart his collection and two free tickets to the Adult Entertainment Expo in Las Vegas.
Awesome.
Kulik says this guy is the ultimate porn fan.
Wow.
Yes.
How many gigabytes that it has? $7,000 worth. That is a grip.
They also sent a few couple-friendly films type of things for his fiance because the president of the company...
They want her to get into it, too.
The president of the company said she's so understanding, she deserves some porn as well.
They should have had Ginger Lynn deliver them personally.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Do you know that she's sober? I heard she had a little bit of time sober, like several years.
Let's see
well,
here.
It's not a secret. She broke her anonymity online.
What she had when she broke it.
Probably all fours.
She quit hitting the pipe.
One of them.
Okay, Shelley, go ahead.
In Riyadh, Saudi Arabia.
Oh, I bet there's no... But this one's not about porn or alcohol.
No, actually, this one's kind of scary. Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, which is apparently an actual organization whose initials are AQAP. It is their movement's most active branch. They have released an English language magazine. This is going to be a regular publication that advises would-be militants on how to do interesting, terrorist-related things like torching parked cars and causing traffic accidents.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say these guys might be pretty easy to find if they're producing a publication every month.
I would think so. They are warning France to get out of Mali, and they made a list of 11 figures, including Salman Rushdie, that are on their hit list.
Salman Rushdie's been on their hit list for how long now?
Since the Satanic Verses came out in, the 80s?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd think they could have got him by now if they were really trying.
Guy's going to die of natural causes, and they're going to have a celebration.
What I love is their tips. They have a section on tips for doing these things. It's called, the tip section is entitled Open Source Jihad. And when they give tips on how to set fire to parked cars, one of the tips was don't get petrol on yourself.
Yeah, that's just a good idea all the time. That's a good general rule for a lot of things besides that.
You know what I'm waiting for? I'm waiting for the U.S. government to make something that looks amazingly similar to this that gives the wrong tips. Same magazine, it says, yeah, connect, touch the two red wires together.
While dousing yourself in petrol.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, the other thing I love is that it said that the activities of the French in Mali and the U.S. experiences in Iraq and Afghanistan caused the editors of the magazine to, and I'm quoting here, bite their fingertips in regret.
Wow.
What does that mean? Does anyone know?
Probably means something different there, is my guess.
Probably means they wish they hadn't done it.
Did it list any of the other people on their hit list?
Yeah.
Did our president make it?
No.
Of course not.
Our president's their hero.
Really?
Yeah. Our old president made it.
The U.S. president did not make it.
It's
no.
Barack.
But the U.S. government.
Dude.
The U.S.
Okay, we can't get political here.
Yeah, no, but the U.S. government made it, right?
Wait, why not?
Because we're not political.
Wait, who's not political?
Mark's political.
Okay, you can be political. You can get all the bad mail. I'm not getting any bad mail. We have to appeal to a wider audience.
Who else is on the list?
Let's see. Well, there's Salman Rushdie. The article doesn't say all the 11 public figures.
Am I on the list?
No, you're not on the list
here.
You'd have to go and look up the 11 figures. But Dutch politician Geert Wilders, I have no idea what he did, and Canadian-Somalian, which is an interesting combination, activist Ayaan Hirsi Ali, they're both critics of Islam, and the U.S. pastor Terry Jones, who did the public burning of the Quran.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was kind of a bonehead maneuver.
Did George Bush Jr. make it?
It doesn't say. No, those are the only names listed. You'd think he would, but those are the only names listed.
I'm a critic of Islamic extremists. I'll state it on the air in public. I'm a critic.
I can see number 12 coming up on the list.
Number
12.
Can you see it? The one download we get in Riyadh. Next thing you know.
Where'd Mark
go? There was a huge explosion in Rancho Cucamonga today by a guy who had accidentally doused himself in gasoline, so he died as well.
Bring it. And that, salam alaikum.
Salam alaikum.
Means, or hello or goodbye, my excellent friends.
Wow.
In Egyptian, though, that's not Arabic.
Okay.
Is? I think that's how you say it. Yeah, that's the end of the boozy news.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the new way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com, helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101.
We're back.
Shout out
to the New Way Foundation.
And Sober College.
Yepers. Oh,
Shelly's Valley.
Shelly's feeding for red
Shelly's
vines.
Twist.
She has a gigantic
twist.
Thing
there
of red vines. She didn't try.
I have a cigar.
She didn't try to unscrew it the way you're supposed to. She just yanked the top off. You can tell when she really wants red wine.
Yeah, she was fiending.
Arr! Fiending for Vine.
We have a topic.
We do have a topic. Bedtime war stories. Now, earlier in the show, we heard the story about that Bill sent about the study that said parents that talked to their kids about their own casual drug use, did it make the kids more likely to do it or not? And they, according to the study, it made the kids more likely. Now, we all have children who all intimately know many of our war stories.
Yes.
Although my children never saw me get loaded.
Mine neither.
And neither did his. But Shelly,
mm-hmm.
yours did.
Yeah.
She got a mouthful of red wine.
Yeah.
So, what do you think about that? What do you think about talking to your kids? You think it makes them more likely to try things?
Well, I don't know, because it wasn't in their past. I mean, it was like a present event. So it wasn't like I sat down with them and said, you know, I have the anti-drug talk and said, well, you know, back in the day we would get stoned and everything, but then, you know, I crashed my car and that was really bad, so don't get stoned. It wasn't
Michelle,
like that.
You said, remember when I was drinking last week? Remember all that shit I did?
Yeah. It wasn't like that. And you know, most of my drinking, you know, 99% of all the drinking that I did was here. They were watching TV or doing homework or screaming at me because I wouldn't drive them somewhere. So, I don't know. There weren't a lot of war stories to tell.
That's true. Her war story library isn't quite as extensive as ours may be.
I don't know. She almost died.
Yeah.
Pancreatitis.
Yeah. But they were there for that, too. So.
Oh, they lived it. Those could be their war stories, too.
Yeah, it could be their war stories.
How about you, Mark? You have several.
I've got four. They all know my story. They all tend to announce it to their friends whenever they're at the house drinking and I come home.
Yeah. My dad could outdrink you.
Yeah. No, they, you know, what they do. They're proud of my sobriety. And I've told them, and my kids, all my kids drink. They had periods of time.
I was going to say responsibly?
At this point, yeah, because they've all gotten out of that. You know, how cool is it when you're, you know, a senior in high school and
really hammered?
And really hammered, yeah. So, you know, they've reached a point now where a couple glasses of wine for the evening will suffice nicely. And as a matter of fact, I was having a family dinner tonight. And I was talking to my niece. My niece just turned 27. Had quite the partying past. And was talking to me today. Was talking about she was on a trip to spring training in Arizona last weekend. And how old she felt. Because she was there. They were staying with...
Oh, wow.
They were staying with some friends that were students at ASU. And their
quite
friends.
The party school.
And their friends. And she says, I just don't understand why they don't get it that, okay, guys, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. It's time for the night to now end. And we'll start up again when the sun comes back up and we're coherent. Why do you want to keep drinking till 5 a.m.?
She goes, we'll start again at 8 a.m.
Yeah. But she says, they, you know, it's like, okay, now I want to go to sleep. They want to keep partying. And I says, yeah, that gets rougher as you get older. She says, yeah. She goes, you guys were right when you said nothing good happens much after midnight. I said, yeah, pretty much.
No, that's usually where all the bad stuff happens.
Yeah, yeah, nothing good happens after midnight. So, and, you know, so they've really, I mean, they know my story, like I said, and they... I don't think it matters one way or the other. I think that they've just learned to tone it down. Maybe something I said helped that come along, where they don't overdo it.
Well, I have some experience particularly with this subject because my daughter at one time has heard my story, has heard me actually speak before, and she knows my story intimately. And when she experimented with weed, you know, her thing was, well, Dad, look at you. You partied all that time. You turned out okay. You know. No, you know what I mean? I mean, her position was, you know, I didn't see you when you were getting loaded, but look, you're married, you got a house, you got a business. She's like, how bad could it be? You know, and I wondered that, hearing that, about people in the program that share with their kids. I mean, I didn't think about it until we heard that study, but I used to think about what happens when you're telling your kids how horrible drugs and alcohol were, and they're looking at you like, now that you've got some time, and they're like, yeah, but you're like totally successful. You know, and it's kind of hard to explain why that's a rough way to get successful, is to lose everything, have everything turn to shit, and you know.
I explained it to our daughter one day when she said, I don't know why you guys got to go to all those meetings. I mean, you're fine now. Everything's fine now. What's the big deal? Yada, yada.
And did you say, I'm like a second from killing you right now? It's not fine.
No, what I said was, we keep going to those meetings so that it doesn't go back to being bad.
So that it stays fine.
So that it stays fine. And I said, and if you keep doing what you're doing, you're going to end up in our position. Mm-hmm. And she said, well, I'm not going to get that bad. I won't have to go to meetings. And I said, well, that's good, because guess what you get for the rest of your life if you get that bad? And she said, what? And I said, you get to sit at Starbucks 5 nights a week and stare at the Chase Bank building. That's what you
get. Ooh.
And she got this look on her face like, wait, well, that's not fun.
Wait. That's meeting after the meeting.
I know, but you know
it
what?
It is fun.
Lately,
you know what you do? On Thanksgiving morning, get her up at 5 a.m., drive down to Skid Row, serve breakfast, and show her all the people who don't go to meetings every day.
Done that several times, actually. I've done that with her.
Here's the ones that don't go to meetings every day.
I've done that with her on Christmas and Easter.
And things haven't turned out so well for them.
Well, you know, another thing, too, is, and I won't mention any names because that would be improper.
It's the evening phone call.
It's the evening phone call, yes, from one of my sponsees. I hope he doesn't feel like drinking or something. That would be bad. So anyway, one of my friends had shared with me before how his daughter had said, you know, Dad, it's only weed. It's natural. It's only weed. I mean, look at you. You turn out okay.
It's herb.
It's natural. So he goes and picks her up the other day from where she was living with her meth dealer boyfriend. I looked at her. I don't know, 75 pounds, maybe.
Ooh.
80 pounds,
she
maybe.
She didn't have that weight to lose either.
Beat up from the feet up?
Been slamming.
Oh, good. She advanced quickly.
And I'm like,
an Evelyn Wood speed reading course.
Speeding. And you know,
exactly.
My guy James saw her today. He goes, oh my God, I couldn't believe it. He goes, I told her that I've seen paper mache figurines with more meat on them than her. But I mean, how horrible, you know? I mean, this is, and you know, here, it's an example of someone who's actually seen their father in active drinking and stuff, and is really concerned about it, has made some stabs at the program, and it's like, wow. I mean, it's just a testament to someone who heard stories and saw their father get some time and you know, doing exactly like what this study says, possibly even made him more likely to try it.
I wonder if there's that mentality with the kids that even if it gets really, really bad, you know, I can always just go to the program if I have to.
I think that there's something to that, especially people, like in the study, it's not saying that alcoholics are talking to people, it's saying people are talking about their casual drug use when they were younger, but, you know, I would think that, I mean, if nothing else, the discussions with you would plant the seed so that they would know to go to program. But it's really strange to think that seeing us in the program might actually propagate people using.
Well, it also, well, it doesn't say in the story that these people were in recovery. It just said that they had related stories of their previous drug use. It, when you're a kid, you grow up thinking that you're going to do what your parents do. You kind of emulate. That's why parents are supposed to be a good example.
Oh, perfect.
Yes. So even though your parent is telling you this horrifying story about this terrible thing that happened one time when they did drugs,
they are your role model.
They're your role model, and that opens the door in your brain to think, well, it's kind of acceptable because they did it. They got over it. I can do it too because my parents did, you know.
I'll tell you the one thing that made it strange for me is because I was telling someone the other day, I said, man, you know, I've got my daughter is still young. She's married. She's going to have a baby. And, you know, and she's only 18. And I'm like, wow, you know. And then this thing happens with my other friend, and I'm like, I'll take the 18 with married with the baby in a second.
Good, that's what you got.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
his level of acceptance is real high now.
Yeah, given my druthers, would I rather see her at 75 pounds with track marks?
No.
Or would I rather see her completely not doing weed or anything because she's pregnant and she's married and, you know, blah, blah, blah?
I know, but, you know, unemployed, homeless, pregnant, married was not my big dream for her.
Well, no, but it's better than the alternative one of our friends is facing.
True. I mean, technically she's not homeless, but still.
All things be equal, I'd rather see her at Cal State Fullerton.
Yes.
Well, there is that. Although she's starting classes tomorrow in dental assistant.
Oh, good.
Yes, that's true. I'm taking her.
Good. And I'm picking her up.
And how long is that going to go
on? And I'm cheering her on.
Don't know. There's only like one day a week she needs to do that because she'll have cars other times.
Ah.
So, what would your final words be, Shelley, on bedtime war stories?
Well, as much as I don't want to wag my finger at parents.
Oh, wag away.
You are not your parents' friend. You are their parent. You don't need to relate to them. You don't need them to relate to you on any level. You need to tell them no. You don't need to tell them why.
Thank you, Nancy. Just say no.
I'm not saying just say no. Yeah, sure. Provide information. Provide evidence. Just don't make it your own evidence. Keep it distanced.
Now, what if you're in the program, though? I mean, how do you can't really, you could do that if you're a regular parent who partied a little, but once you're in the program, if you're doing program and you're going to meetings and they know that, it's kind of hard to make it not seem like it's your experience. What would you give to advice for people in the program?
Say if your kids ask, say you don't wish to discuss that or it's none of their business. Because it's really not.
Smackdown.
There are some things your kids don't need to know.
It's on a need-to-know basis, and they don't need to know.
Right.
What do you think, Mark?
I think that you share age appropriately to your kids, that they do reach a point where you can't share with them. And I won't even get into the topic of people bringing their children to meetings. So.
Well, I think my final words would be, age appropriate's good, though. Because I could see. Let me tell you a bedtime story.
There was
this time. You know, the kid's like 5 years old. There was a time when I was in the hospital and I shot cocaine into my IV and had a grand mal seizure.
Yeah. Sleep tight, honey.
And then I lived happily ever after in program. Shelley.
What?
Who is our friend back east?
That would be Bruce.
The Other White Meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
You can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe, and he will send it to you at the post. Oh, speaking of the post,
yes.
I think we have something from our friend back east.
We do?
Yes. I want to see if it's the new, it came in the mail.
Is it a big box?
It's a big package.
No, actually, it's not a big box.
It's a package.
It's a package that
Is it
came
a package?
In the mail.
Bruce was running for Pope, and apparently he lost because... Is the guy's name Francis?
Hey, those are new.
What are they? Hello. They're new 12-Step Gazettes.
They're new 12-Step Gazettes.
Perfect.
We did get the new 12-step gazettes, the March April edition, The Power of Meetings, it says on the cover.
Yay.
Yay, go Bruce. Yes, it's Pope Frankie is our new pope. The new pope, not
Frankie.
Our new pope.
I got to throw this in here.
Uh-huh.
The other pope, Benedict?
Yes.
Does it strike anyone else that on occasion he looks a lot like Emperor Palpatine from the Star Wars movies? He really does. You catch him with the frown. I've seen it online when they do, this person looks like this person. They put the pictures next to each other, and I'm like, ooh, he does. Mark.
Yes.
People are listening to the show.
Oh.
The really big show.
They are. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate you listening, and we appreciate you using whatever method you use to get to our show. We would like to ask, if possible, that you go to recovery101.net. onto our site and listen to the show from there. You can download from there, but you can also go up and as you're listening to the show, you can click the little button that says like.
Yes.
If you're a member of Podomatic, congratulations, you've been counted into our numbers. If you are not yet a member, please sign up, join Podomatic. It's for fun and for free. And once you become a member of Podomatic, you can listen to the show, you can like it, you can leave comments, click on permalink, go down, leave comments. You can follow the show, you can add us to your playlists, and just generally follow around on the site, and you can also scroll down a bit beyond there, and you can find a list of our sponsors, and please go check out their sites.
Absolutely. As an addendum, I've noticed lately that a couple people have told me when they went to like, that they were asked to re-log in to like the show. So if you just log in with your password again, it lets you like the show.
Yeah.
Apparently you need to do that if you're going to follow or comment as well.
Yes.
I don't know if that's going to make
there
comments
some issues.
Less.
There are some issues with the site, though.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what's going on there, but if you would do that, we would appreciate it. We've got email addresses at recovery101radio@gmail.com. That's where you can send your topic suggestions and things like that, your recovery idol jingles. Don't forget, we still need some more of those. Mention our names in it and the word Recovery 101 Radio, and we would appreciate it.
Yep.
We've also got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101 Rule 62.
Don't take yourself so damn seriously.
We sure don't. Shelly, who's lead out music by?
Lead out music is by...
Gold School, Shelly. Gold
what?
School.
Gold School. AT is clean.
There you go.
Everybody try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.